Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
In studio today, we've got Mike Janella, who, instead of focusing on yet another shutout, would like to focus on something positive. So maybe his producer Blooper showing up for work on time today.
How about that? Round of applause for Blooper getting something done.
I did something.
He did something, and it was a good something, too.
Also on the show, we've got Bob Scanlon, who's begging for a run in today's game. Just begging.
I want one, please. Can I have one?
And rounding out the crew, it's Chris Ello, who knows that the bats are bound to come alive soon, because continuing this way could only be described with one word.
I was going to say hard to do.
That's three words.
Well, there's a hyphen in between there.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the Western Metal Supply Company building, it's Padre Social Hour with your hosts, Mike Janella, Bob Scanlon, and Chris Ello.
Padres at Phillies coming your way, top of the hour. But until there, it's Padres Social Hour right here inside the AMR studio. Gorgeous day in San Diego today. I have a feeling I'll be saying that often throughout the summer. And yet, as the Padres are on the road in the Northeast, in Philadelphia, it looks like, Scans, you're dressed for the road.
Look, you know, fellas, we're sitting here basking in the sun, right? We could be here in our board shorts and our flip-flops. We got guys over in Philadelphia right now in the Arctic tundra. It's a wind chill of 30 degrees right now, okay?
So you decided that the pea coat, the gloves, and the scarf was in solidarity with the Padres on the road.
I've got your back, all right? I know what you guys are going through. We appreciate your efforts out there representing America's finest city out there in the cold. Chris, you want a little sip of hot cocoa, buddy?
No, thank you.
Pass on that?
Thank you very much, but you look great, man.
Appreciate it.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to your dugout reports during today's game.
Well, I thought we were going to do it live in Philadelphia. That's okay. We'll do it here.
You thought they were going to zip us to Philadelphia for the game?
The helicopter's waiting outside.
Much cheaper airfare to keep us here and keep the commute closed.
You got that kind of pull, Mike. I know you do.
I get some strings to pull.
I'm a little cold just sitting next to you, though, honestly.
I'll let you borrow my gloves later.
We'll see how long the winter look for you lasts, Scan. All right, last night, another shutout for the Padres. So, joked about it in the open that runs are a bit at a premium for this team this year. The stat came out after the game yesterday and the 3-0 loss that these Padres are the first team since the 1963 Mets to get shut out four times in their first eight games. Yet they're still in the top half of major leagues in runs scored because all they do when they're not getting shut out is pour it on. I mean, that was frustrating yesterday, knowing what this team can do, seeing them get blanked in a ballpark like that.
Yeah, that's another hitter's ballpark. I mean, is it a feast or famine team? I don't know yet because the feast I saw took place at Coors Field where everybody can obviously score runs. But you don't like to see the team get shut out in Philadelphia because this is not Charlie Morton. All right, at least the Dodgers series you were facing, I think, great pitching and a great team in a pitcher's ballpark here in San Diego. To get shit out in Philadelphia, that worries you a little bit, I think, Scan.
Yeah, no question about it. And what we've seen basically is when they're facing good to extremely good pitching, they're not going to hit it so far. I mean, the guys that they've beat up on, Jordan Lyles did not throw the ball well. Jorge De La Rosa, who is normally the ace of the Rockies staff, threw horribly that game, regardless of what the name was on the back of the jersey. So they've beaten up on two guys in a hitter-friendly ballpark. They did a nice job winning the game the other day, playing some small ball. I mean, Alexi Amarista getting the job done with that bunt. So it's early. We've talked about this before. There's a lot yet to see, but it's not as though they've beaten a top-notch pitcher at this point.
And that's what Andy Green a couple days ago said. We are not the team that got shut out three times in a row. We are not the team that scores 16 and 13 runs every game. What if that is this team, though? What if feast or famine is the identity, where there's going to be some days against good pitching, top of other teams' rotations, where they won't score, and then the games against the 3-5 guys, they may score? Is it going to be that kind of roller coaster? Is that possible?
Oh, it's certainly possible.
I think it's the way it is for a lot of teams, though. Yeah. We just don't pay as close attention to it normally. I mean,
this is a huge disparity, though.
It is, no question. But look at what's happening. I mean, the 29 runs that they scored in Coors Field in those two games aside, just look what's happening in Major League Baseball. Last night, there were five National League games. The 10 teams in those games combined to score 22 runs. That's it. And seven of them were scored by the Giants at Coors Field. So, and then there was a Marlins game earlier today. I think the score was 2-1 again. Nobody's scoring much. That happens often early in a season.
Exactly.
The Padres always seem to take it to another level. But, yeah, this is pretty you know, something that I've seen many, many years in a row.
Yep.
Not a lot of runs in April.
And we've witnessed it. Look, as a player, we witnessed it you know, on the field where you go out in April and you just know, look, guys aren't going to swing the bat very good early in the season. Now, I love that as a pitcher because I felt like, okay, great, it's 30 degrees out here. Here's a fastball in on your hand. See what you can do with it, right? But we had players like Ryan Sandberg. He's a Hall of Famer. But we knew every April Rhino was going to hit 097, then he was going to hit 410 the rest of the season. So part of it, I think, is the weather. I think part of it also is guys are still trying to figure out how to adjust to the shifts. There's better scouting that's going on. And, you know, it's amazing to me.
Where was the shift when we were pitching, Skin?
Exactly.
That would have saved us so many runs.
We might still be playing, buddy.
We might still be getting guys out. I mean, exactly. I mean, give me a shortstop playing in medium left field. I would have had a lot out.
So let me ask you this. I mean, part of my impression also with the shifts, Mike, you might have an opinion on this as well.
I'm sure I do.
I'm sure you do. But, I mean, as far as what you see, do you see hitters psychologically beating themselves before they even get into the plate thinking about the shift? I think that some guys are actually beating themselves, let alone defensively what's happening to the ball they put in play. There's so many guys, I think, that it's in their nugget. I think it's going to take a little while for hitters to figure out, how do I handle this thing? What is my approach? And until we see guys start to handle the bat better and not beat themselves before they even step in the batter's box, the shift is going to have an effect on the mind, if nothing else.
You need to have your game plan, right? If you're an Adrian Gonzalez or a David Ortiz, you have to decide before you go in there, am I going to try and go oppo and beat these guys, or am I going to do what's best for me, shift be damned? I think we saw Jock Peterson in the first series here try and go opposite field a little bit, drop some bunts down against the Padres shift. He's a young kid, maybe still trying to figure his way out. If you're an established, you know, home run hitter like a David Ortiz, maybe you say, I don't care if you're shifting me or not.
We saw Adrian Gonzalez try to put a bunt down in the opening series as well.
How many bunts?
I think you have to know for sure before you step in the batter's box what you're going to do.
Well, for at least a pitch.
Right.
You know, maybe first offering, I'm going to try to push one to the opposite side. After that, swing away.
Let me ask you this. How many bunts would you have to allow as a defense
before
in a row
taking the shift
before
back?
You would just say, I can't do the shift anymore?
We've seen it already happen. At least one,
you think?
Well, I've seen it during the course of the season where they have dramatic shifts on a player, and as soon as the guy does show that he's going to put one down the next at bat, lo and behold, the shift's not as extreme the next time up. Yeah. So I've seen defenses adjust within game.
So there begs the next question. You know, with all due respect to the great power of David Ortiz and Gonzalez and the people we're talking about, why don't they all just give up one at bat with a bunt so that they can get the shift away from them the rest of the way? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
It's called pride.
Is it really? I mean, is it that?
Totally gets in the way.
But it's a hit most of the time, Bob.
It goes down as a hit. Stubbornness, too. And I think the expected the risk-reward ratio, because, it may be one at-bat, but if you are a David Ortiz, that at-bat may be a four-bagger. And I don't know if you want to risk that. I'm with you. Personally, I think get him honest the one time. It'll pay dividends the rest of the way. But it is, it's a good, kind of theoretical argument on the risk-reward.
You know, as a pitcher, we make a living on taking advantage of the pride of batters, because every single one of them thinks that they can catch up to a fastball. And that's up there. You
and
give them the fastball upstairs. I'm going to get it this time. Now, nobody's caught up to that pitch in about 110 years, but I'm going to get it.
Everybody in the dugout is yelling, watch for the high fastball and lay off the high fastball. You're standing on the mound looking at the batter going, I'm going to throw you a high fastball and you're not going to catch up to it. You throw it. And they swing at
it. And with the game on the line, you come back with something off speed.
It looks
speed
so
and the ego
good
takes
right
over.
There at the eyes, though. It looks so good.
Yeah, I know.
A stat I want to leave you guys with about this offense, and then we'll move on to another slide rule play that I'm sure you guys want to talk about from yesterday. Padres with runners in scoring position this year, the offense is top five in the majors in OPS, RBIs, and home runs. When guys are on and in scoring position, this offense is doing what it has to do. The problem is they're 25th in the league in OBP for their leadoff hitters, and they are next to last in OBP with the bases empty and any outs. So they're driving the runners in when they're on. The problem is runners just aren't getting on that often, and that's a big problem.
Yesterday they were 0 for 5, I think, with runners in scoring position.
Right.
And again, it's skewed because of the 29 runs you scored in the two games in Denver. I mean, how many runs have the Padres scored in their five games? Five?
Yeah, a total. I think
total
they have three.
Three and a four, seven, I beg your pardon.
Okay. Yeah.
Seven in the other five games. So it's pretty hard to get a read on this team yet as far as what they're going to do offensively. But I think you can say that this isn't going to be a great hitting team this year. I just think it's not going to be. But I never think it's going to be when you're playing half your games in Petco Park. You're going to have to pitch well. And if you pitch well, you're going to win. I mean, what was the craziest stat I saw? The Padres,
lots of crazy stats out there.
Yeah, the Padres over the last two seasons are seven games over 500 when they score at least one run. Meaning they don't get shut out. They win.
That doesn't tell you much. As long as you score a run, you got a chance to win the game.
Just one. We'll see. Just one's all we're asking for.
I think all this talk about, you know, hitting in Petco Park, I thought we put that to rest when we pulled the fences in and we realized, look, that's not going to help anything. You got to get hitters up there that can hit. And I agree with your point about not getting guys on base. They've done a nice job, runners in scoring. I was looking at that as well, over 300 in those situations. But the thing that I'm also looking at, look, if you're not going to have big thumpers in the middle, you got Matt Kemp, but you got to have some help through the rest of the lineup. And
it's
six through nine.
It's a different kind of lineup. I think they are tailored more to Petco Park. It's some more slap hitters, some more contact guys. They're not trying to go for those 40.
Oh, yes, well, they proved that the first weekend.
But you better do something in the bottom part of your lineup, and this lineup so far is hitting under 200 from the guys 6, 7, 8, 9.
If
so you're going to start having to get some help.
If you won't be relying on two or three big thumpers, you need balance.
I just got to pitch around those guys, absolutely.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
Well, Ramirez won't be in there today. They took him out today. At least give him one day off to rest, and he needs it.
We will get to the lineups in a little bit as we get you ready for Padres-Phillies. We're going to come back and talk about that the slide play at second base yesterday that really helped turn the tide of that game in that 3-0 loss for the Padres. So stay tuned for that. Love some slide rule talk.
Getting warm in here.
That's going to be fun.
Getting warm.
I didn't think you'd last long with the winter gear, Scan. But
you know
we'll
what? You know what? They don't fit. And if they don't fit,
oh, you must have quit.
Then we must.
He's innocent.
If they don't fit, we must go to break. Don't forget, let us know what you think using hashtag PadresSH and joining the conversation at Padres.com/social hour. Party in the Park, presented by Southwest Airlines, is back this season. It's back this week. It's a pregame happy hour series every Friday, home game at Petco Park. Next up, Party in the Park on Friday when the Padres come home to take on the D-backs at 7:40. Tickets at Padres.com/party. Scan, you'll be in a tank top by the time we come back from this break. It is too nice out there. We're back with more after this, after Padres
Cocoa.
Social.
Put your clothes back on.
Yum.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
Colin Ray taking on Jared Eichhoff as the Padres and Phillies play game three of their four-game set. That first pitch is 4:05 from Citizens Bank Park. But until then, welcome back into the AMR studio as we keep rolling along here on Padres Social Hour. I got some tweets coming in using hashtag PadresSH during the break. Logan saying that players need to adjust to the defense for a shift. Tony Gwynn could. You would never shift Tony Gwynn.
But it's
a good point. Good hitters do adjust.
But they never really put anybody in the 5.5 hole against Tony Gwynn. Why didn't they try that at least a couple of times?
You'd slide your shortstop over
a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'd have our shortstop play over a little bit. And
they
try to tell us to pitch in early in the count, be careful of going away late in the count. It didn't matter.
Again.
It didn't matter.
Again. The good hitters adjust.
Yeah.
Also, someone asking why Hayscan was wearing gloves. He's not anymore, but he's wearing his winter gear in solidarity with the Padres, the freezing Padres, out in Philadelphia.
By the time the show's over, he's
going to be shirtless.
All right, let's talk about this. That viewership will go through the roof.
Well, that's why I told
everybody. We're trying to keep people watching.
Let's talk about the big play from yesterday. And the Padres were down 1-0 at the time, but with the bases loaded and nobody out, and this came in the eighth inning, bottom of the eighth, it was a ground ball, or one out, sorry, I should say, and the ball was chopped to Alexi Ramirez at short. He throws to Corey Spangenberg at second, who throws the ball to the home plate side of the first base bag. Brett Wallace can't grab it cleanly. It ends up resulting in a ball that bounces away from Wallace. Everyone's safe and two runs score. Andy Green decided to challenge the play just in case, as we've seen around baseball early in the year this year, that the new slide rule came into effect, because as you see there, the runner never made contact with the bag, didn't go after Spangenberg, but the new rule says if you don't make an attempt at a slide at the bag, technically should be out, and that would have been a double play that would have ended the inning, and the Padres go to the ninth inning down 1-0 instead of down 3-0. So Andy Green decides, you know what, let me throw the challenge flag. And before we get your guys' take on that, we'll hear from Andy on why he thought that's why he made that move. Or not, because blooper, we credit him in the beginning of the show for showing up to work on time, but obviously
we can paraphrase what Andy said.
All right, now blooper says we're ready, so let's take a look at Andy's thought process in going for the challenge on that play yesterday.
You know, there was no real effort to make to reach the bag. Could call it a surrender slide. He slid a little bit early, maybe not got to the bag, but by the letter of the law, you just kind of want to see what they're going to call at this point in time. There was really nothing to lose, and to see if they thought it was not correct in New York. You know, there's been a couple times where there's been no contact where the slide rule has been enforced. So I think maybe it wasn't enforced there because he never really fully reached the bag. But, you know, he made no attempt to touch the base. So by the letter of the law, I thought we might have a chance.
Good for Andy challenging, because why not? We're going to keep doing this until Major League Baseball tells us how the rule is going to be governed. But I have a feeling you think that the actual slide play, nothing was wrong with it.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. What he's basically saying is, look, it's so ridiculous, and we have absolutely no idea what New York is actually going to rule because we've seen these random calls in both ways.
Why not?
Exactly. So, in other words, it's so ridiculous, we've got to take a chance and start putting questions on some of these plays, even though all baseball men really know there's nothing to challenge here, but we have to. Guys are going to start burning up challenges just thinking maybe – I don't know what they're going to do, and I sure don't want to get caught not challenging it.
I would also think that Corey Spangenberg, who's a ball player, I mean, a gamer, a guy would be like, why do we have to I didn't even get touched, and we're challenging this. Yep. I mean, you know.
He said it after the game. It had no effect on my throw.
He was almost a little embarrassed right. that they challenged, you know. So, but you're right. It's April. They're going to get it right, and baseball's going to figure out what to call on those plays. But, yeah, Andy Green did the right thing. I don't think there's any question that you challenged because the runner did not go to the bag.
Now, let me ask you this. It's easy to do in the eighth inning in a game like that. What are you saving it for, right? What about if it's a fifth inning situation in a closer game or maybe –
Then you have to weigh your options.
Exactly. Yeah. They're going to change it. Look, Joe Torre and the rest of MLB understands there's some big problems with this. Everybody's complaining.
It's
managers
just amazing
are upset.
How it's all happened in the first week and a half.
It's not amazing because it's such a bad rule.
But I did not expect it to be this much of a magnet this early.
Yeah, I know, but can we bring up Chase Utley one last – I mean, still,
no,
he got away with that one.
We're done talking
got
about
away
Chase
with it.
Utley. Done talking about him.
Yeah.
Learn how to cover the base properly, and we don't have this rule at all.
What was interesting that I noticed earlier in the game yesterday –
Chris, you know that.
In the fourth inning, two double play balls or two turns at second base, and both runners, one for the Padres, one for the Phillies. I forget who exactly – they both went sliding, but basically stopped short of the bag, you know, a few feet. They were in the baseline, but it's almost like these runners are saying, I don't want to even risk it. I'm going to hit the ground early and just stay there. And that's going to take away a lot of aggression, I think, around that second base bag.
The other side of that coin is I've seen a lot of guys sliding past the base, but the double play still gets turned. And what we're seeing is the umpires really have no desire to call this play either because they could have very easily said, you're out before the throw was even made. But the umpires are pretty much washing their hands of it and saying, look, if you want to challenge it, go ahead. I'm not going to be in charge.
How about if you're a pitcher and you're on first base and you're running, obviously, in a National League game, and you know you're one of those slow pitch Bartolo Colon. You only get halfway down the line, and then you peel off toward the outfield.
Right.
Well, you're not making an attempt
out.
To go to the bag. Yep. I mean, do we have to call that a double play? I mean, he's just completely getting out of the way. But he's got
such a large backside, he might accidentally get in the way of the throwing, like Reggie Jackson in the World Series that one year, right?
Remember that one? Yeah. 1978 against the Dodgers.
That was a great play.
That was a great play. Bill Russell dropped the line drive on purpose, tried to turn it into a double play, threw back to first. Reggie Jackson, the little hip.
Old school baseball.
I will have to YouTube that one later
because I
wasn't born yet.
That was before Mike Ginella. Yeah, look that one up.
All right. To not spend too much time on the replay or the slide rule, because we have, I think, on almost every episode this year, I'm going to put you guys now on the Cholula hot seat about yesterday's starting pitcher, Robbie Erlin. Robbie, six innings, the tough luck loser, only one earned run, three hits, seven strikeouts. He had that great performance in Colorado, too. All of a sudden now, Tyson Ross supposedly coming back on a regular timetable from that 15-day DL. Brandon Morrow may be ready for some big league action by the end of the month. Cholula hot seat, guys, is Robbie Erlin deserving of a spot in the starting rotation if he keeps this up?
Want to start off, Chris?
Well, I want to say if he keeps it up, I think he's deserving of it. He's got to get another start, and he's got to, you know, stay in the starting rotation until he doesn't pitch well, if nothing else. I thought he was out. He was in complete command of this game last night and, you know, pitched great in Colorado. He's pitched in two hitters' ballparks and been dominant.
Great spring training numbers
so
this year.
I think he's got to stay in until he proves otherwise. Now, the question I think when even a hotter seat would be, if you do keep Robbie Erlin in and Tyson Ross comes back,
who do you
take out? Well, and that may be decided tonight.
Could be. That's kind of where I come back on it. Does he deserve to? Yeah, maybe so. Had a great spring training. He's thrown really well. Nobody's saying that he doesn't deserve to be in the rotation. The question really becomes who deserves to be kicked out. You made a decision coming out of spring with five guys that you wanted to go with. Now, if somebody pitches themselves out of that spot, whole different story. You know, you've got Robbie that can take over. But at this point, I can't just tell Colin Ray or Drew Pomeranz, sorry, guys, he had a hot couple of games
and
here in the first
week of
the season.
Six-man rotation off the table in your mind?
Not for me. I'm not a big fan of it at this
point. I don't like it either, but I'm not going to kick Ray or Pomeranz out of the rotation. The guy I'm going to put on watch is Andrew Cashner. And I know he's one of the star studs and
hot
big
take.
Guys that we've got
hot
in this team.
Hot take on the hot seat.
He's the one that's pitched the poorest as far as I'm concerned. I mean, his performance here, you know, against the Dodgers, giving up the four quick early runs, I was not a fan of that. And then coughing up the lead in his second start. So, and I know you can't – it's too early and Cashner's done – what really has he done? What really has Cashner accomplished? He was less than stellar last year.
If the goal of the organization is to move some of these players and get prospects back for him, the most you get back for Andrew Cashner is if he's doing well in the starting rotation.
All right, so you leave him in, and he gets pounded and bombed week after week, and then you trade him for nothing.
That's a totally different issue. I mean, if he's getting bombed and bombed, obviously they'll make a change and they'll probably send him back to the bullpen at some point. But at this point, you need to have Andrew Cashner be successful as a starting pitcher.
And so I know you do, but
you're trying to manage like a Mexican League summer league skipper, all right? Where it's like, you know what?
40-game season.
I've got my bullpen up with the first two batters in the first inning, and they you know,
you're
get a little anxious over there. They're on the hot
seat. It's a one-strike law. Like, better go out and pitch well, or you're on notice.
It's a zero-tolerance LO. That's the policy around here. Things, though, if they do continue in this way for another few weeks, then you start thinking. Uncap real flavor with Cholula hot sauce, the hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap. It is the official hot sauce of the San Diego Padres. I'm also putting up a poll on my Twitter. It's at Mike Janella, and it's hashtag PadresSH if you can look it up. We're asking you guys if you think Robbie Erlund deserves a spot in the starting rotation. That poll will be open throughout the course of the show today, so let us know what you think. We have East Village Times. We're chiming in using the hashtag PadresSH, saying, how about that Robbie Erlund? He is fun to watch, aggressive and attacking hitters despite topping out in the low 90s. Whether he sticks in the rotation or not, when he's on like he was yesterday, fun guy to watch.
What was impressive? He's throwing strikes. The two things I saw differently with Robbie, and in the past we've seen, I think, a guy that was a little bit hesitant, almost, I hope I throw a strike here, I hope I hit my spot there.
Didn't trust his stuff.
He looked a lot more determined and committed to the pitch that he was making. And also, for me, whenever I've seen him have that good curveball working for a strike, it just completely changes the game. It gives a whole different back-and-forth perspective that the opposing hitters have to contend with. And he had it going the last couple of games. Good for him.
And being as I'm a Mexican League summer manager, look, I really want Colin Ray throwing some strikes tonight, because that was what really burned him in Colorado. I mean, he should have got a win in that game. They scored 16 runs, for heaven's sakes, but he didn't hang around long enough to get the win. So he didn't throw strikes. Robbie Erlund's throwing strikes, man. That's a beautiful thing.
And we'll see Colin Ray tonight if he can do
that's
it. But
right.
Erlund did look very good yesterday. Fans, guess what? Major League Baseball All-Star Week is coming to San Diego this July 8th through the 12th. Register now for the chance to purchase tickets at allstargame.com. Registration ends April 20th. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of those All-Star Week jerseys that Major League Baseball unveiled today. Get our fashionistas here. Their opinion on all the new looks that MLB unveiled, and also how Matt Kemp is so nationally fashionable. We'll talk about that and more after this on Padres Social Hour.
You want to talk Padres? Lucky for you, we're doing exactly that. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio inside Petco Park.
Colin Ray trying to get the Padres back on the winning side of things coming up at the top of the hour. But we're getting you there, and that's here in Padres Social Hour. A couple of folks chiming in on Twitter and in the chat room at padres.com/socialhour. Padres no-hitter on Twitter saying, too early to say about Robbie Erlund's place in the rotation. I think, yeah, for sure, but the kind of stuff you got to start thinking about if he continues performing the way he has. Let's see, who was it here that said about that slide rule? Yeah, SD hat guy. I don't understand what's so hard about the new slide rule. Go for the base, not the player. Yeah, it seems good enough in theory.
Yes,
but
again, we
in
said
practice,
it,
it's tough.
Again, if you peel off, you're not going for
right.
the base,
yeah.
but you're not creating
But you're not
any
going
problems.
For the player either,
yeah.
It's going to be a fun season checking out this rule and how it keeps manifesting itself.
By the way, real quick before you move on, I just want to say that I really am a big fan of Andrew Cashner. He's a lot bigger than I am, and I don't want to get on his bad side.
What happened?
This
you get a phone call from somebody in Texas already? Let's get the FBI to cover you, buddy.
He went to TCU, right, which was a big rival of San Diego State at the time he was in college. So I called Aztec baseball games when Cashner was pitching against San Diego State. So I've always had a little thing for Andrew.
A little soft spot for Cash.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, now that that's settled and there's no
appreciate the
bad
transparency
blood there.
On that.
I'm just trying to get off the. I'm trying to get off the hook here.
Let's talk some fashion, guys. We're all wearing tucked-in collared shirts, so I think what better authorities than us? And Scan even brought his winter coat and his scarf today.
Honor of the boys in Philly.
Yeah, to be in support of them. Major League Baseball today announced with photos all these new jerseys they're going to be displaying this season, including those for the All-Star Game workouts for All-Star Game Week, and those fashioned after the old Padres brown and yellow. And so the National League has the predominant brown with the yellow sleeves and yellow lettering. American League is vice versa. It's mainly yellow with the brown accents, and they put that out on Instagram today saying the workout day jerseys are straight fire. Your thoughts on those? This is, you know, home run derby, workout day, batting practice.
Well,
thumbs down?
Total thumbs up for me. Okay. I totally love them, but I've been calling for the brown jerseys to come back for about a decade now.
So you're more afraid of the big break, the brown crew, than you are the Texas crew covering Cashner. So
yeah, I'm going to jump in with both feet on this one. I really do like the brown and the gold and the yellow and the Taco Bell and the whole thing that they had going on there. But back in the 80s, and I'm glad they're bringing it back. I find it interesting the Major League Baseball designed those uniforms and decided to put the Padres in brown and yellow when the Padres themselves are still a little hesitant to go to brown and yellow.
Well, obviously, we've seen the Padres making more of an effort to get more of the brown and yellow in there, and I thought it was interesting. I actually liked those uniforms the other day that didn't have the orange, a little bit more of a modern brown-yellow look to them.
Yeah, I like those,
and
too.
I think I would have enjoyed that maybe a little more without as much orange for the All-Star game. I mean, but it's good to see the brown and yellow honoring that Padre history.
But is Major League
Baseball –
and
that's what separates the Padres' uniforms from everybody else's, being able to go to that brown
and yellow. And that's my main reasoning for going brown and gold, is because then I know that I'm looking at the Padres.
Right.
When they wear what they wore yesterday in Philadelphia, their road uniform now with the blue and the gray – they are identical to the Tampa Bay Rays road uniforms. Watch, I mean, put them side by side. You couldn't even tell the difference except for the lettering across the chest. I like my team to step out. I like to know who I'm watching.
Well, you're getting your wish, at least during All-Star Week and every home Friday during the regular season.
And I can tell you, the players enjoy ordering those white shoes because you can't find brown shoes. But, you know, they put on the white spikes and you get them all polished up every day. Oh, yeah.
Very 1970s Oakland A's kind of look.
Bring it back.
Mike brought up a good point, too, because we were talking a little bit about the jerseys beforehand. It's also it's a glory time of Padre baseball. I mean, 1984, those jerseys make me think of the 1984 World Series. So I think baseball was thinking along those lines as well in designing those for the Home Run Derby, because you look at that and you think, okay, that was a great season for the Padres. That's what it makes me think of.
It's interesting. I was talking to some other people in the front office, and they were telling me that they actually relate to the 98 uniforms, the orange and the blues.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, so it's kind of funny when you talk to Padre fans, everybody sort of has
Their everyone own has that one team that you most associate with growing up or as an adult fan. Also, we don't have a photo of this, but they have the hats for All-Star Home Run Derby for the week will be the orange, the old orange with the font, the old 80s font, in every team's word mark is going to be in the Padres look, so it's going to be very cool. Friar Gal chiming in here on Twitter that those brown All-Star threads are awesome. Anything that reminds her of Goose or Benito Santiago makes her
perfect.
Happy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's right.
But it's not just All-Star jerseys. Also, some other holiday jerseys and some other special days. Let's take a look at the 4th of July jerseys. That these will be all across baseball. San Diego Padres version is going to be blue, America blue, with red piping, and the SD on the chest is going to have a red Independence Day look on it on the chest. So that
you have become so adept at describing these uniforms.
Yeah.
You are really good at this now.
Well, you know, because not everyone's watching us; they're listening too. So I have to try and we have to guide the listeners as well. So that's the 4th of July look, and then also for Memorial Day they have a look, but then also for Father's Day and Mother's Day, here are the Father's Day uniforms, which guys have had blue bats before, blue wristbands, stuff like that, but now all the lettering and the numbering is going to be in that blue.
That's
that helps raise the awareness for prostate cancer. Yep, those are Father's Day. And then Mother's Day, of course, will come with the pink accents, the pink lettering.
So in other words, somebody in MLB licensing finally figured out how many millions can we make selling a few more jerseys with the blue
but
and the pink?
But also donating to, you know, Susan G. Komen and the prostate cancer research.
You know
these are all going to good causes, too, a lot of these
outstanding causes.
Proceeds.
And what's always amazed me, or not amazed me, but what really caught me when those first came on as a player. I remember how many guys just grabbed it. Yeah, I want to use that pink pad. Yeah, I want to wear the blue wristbands and all that kind of stuff. The players really enjoy that day, and they enjoy busting out the pink shoes and the blue shoes and, doing all the paraphernalia.
I like the pink look because I think you're helping a cause, and everybody knows you're helping a cause. For Father's Day, I don't need new uniforms. For 4th of July, I don't need new uniforms. For Memorial Day, I don't need new uniforms. For every other game. But, again, I'm the old guy who tells the kids to get off my lawn.
You're the grumpy old guy?
A little bit. I want a white home uniform with an alternate. I want a gray road uniform, maybe an alternate, and I'm good.
You know what my favorite day of spring training was?
I don't need 19 uniforms.
My favorite day of spring training was St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, the green tops?
We'd have the green hats and the green pinstripes on those Philly uniforms.
Well, I'm getting Chris for Christmas this year. We're just getting him every single alternate jersey across the way.
Cool.
Can you do me a favor? Just get it in a size double extra large so that when he throws them out, I can wear them.
Perfect. Yeah, it'll be the social hour shareable jersey set.
I could wear one for every day of the show. I mean, that's how many alternate jerseys there are.
You could.
Nice.
Also, while we're on the topic of fashion, a congratulations to Matt Kemp of the Padres, who was named yesterday to Sports Illustrated's Fashionable 50. It's the most 50 most fashionable athletes across all sports today. And as we'll take a look at some of Matt's looks from his Instagram account. And while we're looking at those, this is what SI had to say about Kemp. He says when he's not wearing a baseball cap, you'll usually see him accessorizing his cool, casual look with eyeglasses or wide-brimmed hats. He's not afraid to take risks with colors or patterns. And as baseball becomes more fashionable, it will be said that Kemp inspired players to do so.
I like the look where he goes with the hat. Have you seen him in the clubhouse with the brimmed hat and the thick-brimmed glasses to go with it? Yeah, I mean, he's bold. He's not afraid.
I think he looks very sharp. You know, we talked about this a little bit last week about the Padres when they go on the road and what, you know, do they have to wear a nice suit, clean, sharp suit, or do they just get to wear casual stuff? And
Brings the threads.
Andy Green, from what we understand, is going to go a little more casual this year, right?
Jeans and dress-up shirts are okay on the road this year.
So I like my major league team when it's traveling to look major league. And, you know, good. Matt Kemp, hats off to him. Congratulations.
Hats on. That's his fashion trademark. It's hats on.
Right.
Better so. Victor Cruz.
He cut his teeth with the Dodgers, so I think he's still bringing a little of that Hollywood thing to us. Yeah.
It was Victor Cruz, Russell Westbrook, and LeBron James were the top three in terms of most fashionable athletes. They only ranked the top 10, so we don't know exactly where Matt Kemp fits in that 50. But he's somewhere between 11 and 50. So congrats, Matt. And maybe give us some tips when you come back from that road trip.
Would you take him over Alexi Ramirez? Because you showed all of Alexi's electric, crazy stuff last week.
I'd do my Matt Kemp look for the office and then the Alexei look for the clubs at night.
Uh-huh.
That's daytime, nighttime.
That sounds like Prince Fielder, who used to have some amazing actually, I said Prince. Cecil Fielder, his dad.
Cecil?
Oh, yeah. He'd have the orange suit with the matching orange alligator shoes.
Gotta look fresh, baby, when you're rolling to the club. Gotta look fresh.
He looked good,
Cecil
man.
Weighed about 310 pounds.
Yeah, but he wore good.
That
he
stuff.
Wore it good, Chris. Right,
when you get a custom made, things look a lot better. On
exactly.
you than off the rack. We touched on those all-star workout jerseys. You can check those out yourself in person this summer because Major League Baseball All-Star Week is coming to San Diego. You can get in on the action July 8th to the 12th by visiting All-Star Fan Fest, the world's largest interactive baseball theme park. You could probably buy Chris one of these jerseys, too, if you want to get on the gift-giving train. Tickets and more information at allstargame.com.
Yeah, I'll complain about them all day long, but if you want to buy me one,
it's for me.
Just please order them in double extra large.
We take a look at the Padres lineup for today after this on Padres Social Hour.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
It is Padres Social Hour, getting you set for Padres and Phillies. We're about to break down today's lineup and chat about that pitching matchup right here in the AMR studio with Chris Ello and Bob Scanlon, Mike Ginella here. If you're joining the conversation or if you haven't, do so. Hashtag PadresSH. And, of course, the chat we have going on live at Padres.com/Social Hour, talking about those all-star workout jerseys that we were talking about last segment. And Justin Calloran chiming in on Twitter saying, those jerseys look great. That Dodger logo on the hat and our colors awful, which I think is more of a Padres fan thing than an aesthetic look. Hopefully it drives them nuts. Hashtag beat LA. It will be kind of cool seeing some of these traditional rivalries where these teams are going to be basically decked out in Padres colors and Padres font.
Everybody's got to wear look like a Padre that week.
Look like a Padre week.
Yeah, look at a taste of it.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. But no, it will look very cool. Also, an update on that Twitter poll that we have going on my Twitter handle, at Mike Janella, hashtag PadresSH. Should Robbie Erlen belong in the starting rotation for the Padres? 90% of the people say yes so far. Keep him in. Too soon, I think, to make that determination for sure, but the people love him.
You know what the beautiful thing about all these? We can debate it. Everyone's going to talk about it. It's going to be a hot topic on Twitter and everybody else, right? But most of the time, Chris, Mike, these decisions take care of themselves, don't they? I mean, we angst over
more
it.
More times than not.
Either somebody gets hurt. It's amazing how they've got to make that decision, and all of a sudden, oh, so-and-so is going on the DL retroactively with a tight hamstring.
Well, so. I don't think there's any decision right now. I mean, Robbie Erlen pitches the way he did last night. He pitches again. I mean, I don't see how you can make any – there's not even a decision to be made there.
All it comes down is when Tyson Ross is ready to come back.
Then it's decision time.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a look at the lineup today presented by United. And at the top of the lineup, speaking of a guy who keeps earning himself a spot in the rotation or in the starting staff here, it's John Jay at center field with his 8-game hitting streak now. Corey Spangenberg at second base behind him. Then it's Matt Kemp in right. Will Myers after his off day yesterday at first base. Melvin Upton Jr. batting fifth and playing left. Christian Bethencourt getting the start and catching. Adam Rosales at third, hitting seventh. Alexia Marista, the shortstop, eighth. And Colin Ray pitching and batting ninth. Will Myers had that day off yesterday, and Brady Phelps, who was the co-host yesterday, said, what's a 25-year-old need a day off for 7 days into the season? What has this come to? He's back in today. Andy Green saying we're just going to rest these guys to pay dividends down the road. Do you like the early day off for some of these regulars, or should these guys be out there every day now in April?
Well, to me, everything changed when they took Greenies out of the game, right? Right, Chris? I mean, that's the bottom line.
From experience.
Okay, as soon as they took the amphetamines out of the ball game, we don't see guys playing 162 anymore. These guys need the rest.
It used to be a badge of honor to play 162.
Right, now it's no big deal.
Matter,
I don't think Cal Ripken's too worried about his record being broken.
Never.
But, give them the day off. The thing that kind of I always get surprised about is – he hit a home run yesterday. How can you take him out of the line? Look, there's a lot more than getting a cookie up in the zone and hitting out of the ballpark. Now, if a guy's squaring the ball up three or four times, he's got a 3-for-4, and he's really swinging the bat hot, okay, maybe you're a little less hesitant to do it. But the whole thing of, hey, if you hit a home run the day before, you're going to stay in the lineup, I think it's a little bit eyewash, personally.
That's kind of crazy, and it's just a different era nowadays. So, I mean, guys play 5 or 6 days a week. That's it. And so I think you do need to give these guys a day off. They're used to getting it. And I liked Andy Green's point about how much they played in spring training. You got to ease them into a full-time role during the regular season. The fact Will Myers was not in the lineup yesterday is not why they got shut out. Still had 8 other guys there to swing the bat, and nobody got the job.
And he pinch hit. He was available, and he came up in a very high leverage situation, so you still had his tool set available to you if you needed.
I think the other thing also, Mike, and you spent a lot of time with Andy in spring training. You know how much he respects and appreciates the non-everyday player and how he wants to get those guys in. So he wants to try to find ways to get Brett Wallace into a lineup and get him those consistent at-bats because
it's
he
important
understands,
to do that.
Look, when you're sitting on the bench, you want to try to keep your rhythm and be able to contribute when the skipper does call you in that big key situation.
I would say one thing about today's lineup. First of all, Alexi Ramirez needs a day off, so there shouldn't be any complaining about the fact that he's sitting out today, and I don't think there will be.
And for the record, I'm all for the days off whenever they come. You don't need them. When you need them, it's too late. You need them before you need them.
Preemptive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Fair enough. But this lineup, if Melvin Upton Jr. can hit well enough to stay in the 5-hole, that's going to be great news for the Padres this year. Because remember, when the season started, this is an afterthought. We're batting him number 8 because he's the weakest hitter
we have. He's batting 5th out of necessity
he's
now.
He's batting 5 right now.
But it's an audition.
But he's hitting pretty well. Yeah. That's my point. If he can get another stick in the lineup and he becomes the B.J. Upton of the Tampa Bay Rays years, that would be wonderful.
That's wonderful.
Right now he's off to a nice little start.
The other flip side of that coin is the more he plays, the less we see of Jabari Blash. And this is a young man who, as we just talked about, needs to get his playing time. He's a long swing, long lever type guy. And the more he sits around, I think the more difficult it is to justify him being on that roster.
Okay.
Upton, though, he can be a spark plug, but he has to be producing to the capability that we know he's capable of.
He has to play hard, too, and hustle, man. I think that was an issue with him last year, and I hope that doesn't become an issue this year. And you're smiling at me.
It's been an issue not just last
year.
It's been
an issue,
right? His whole career. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just go out and play hard. I mean, this guy's got all the talent in the world, and he also has all the money in the world, too. So,
Well, we'll see. He's in that 5 spot now. No Derek Norris in the lineup today. No Yoenhervis Solarte because he's on the DL. Encouraging news from him, though. It seemed Andy Green last night said he's feeling a lot better than expected, so there should be some reinforcements on the way by the end of April to make this lineup a bit more stretched and a bit more balanced. We'll talk the pitching matchup for today when we get back, but there's a new, brand new experience at Petco Park this season we want to tell you about. Check out the newest space inspired by San Diego's beach lifestyle, the Craft Pier, presented by Ballast Point, and the San Diego Beach. These new spaces can hold anywhere from 30 to 500 guests. To book the space, visit padres.com/groups. Good thing we got scans here today. We're talking some pitchers when we come back on Padres Social Hour.
We're talking Padres all season long. This is Padres Social Hour, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the team store.
Talking about those All-Star Week jerseys and how it's going to be great. Fans from the Padres love the fact that Dodgers have to be wearing Padres brown and classic brown here in the AMR studio. Got a tweet in from at the Thin Gwyn, who says even more hilarious to him is that the Cubs have to wearing those 84 colors that those Cubs are going to be
better
coming
point.
In
that. That's better a slap
point.
In the
These
face,
These Padres fans
it?
Love their schadenfreude, let me tell you. All right, let's talk about today's pitching matchup. It's Colin Ray on the hill for the Padres and Jared Eichhoff on the mound for the Phillies. The pitching matchup is presented by Water and Sports Physical Therapy, the official physical therapists of the San Diego Padres. Now, Colin Ray, 90 pitches only got him 3 1/3 at Colorado in his last start. 5 runs on 7 hits and 4 walks. Jared Eichhoff, a guy that the Phillies are investing a lot in the back end of their rotation this season. Scans, break it down for us.
Well, Colin Ray, as Chris mentioned earlier, needs to throw more strikes. Part of that is the butterflies of opening day, also pitching in those dry air conditions in Colorado. He relies a lot on a split finger as well. Very difficult pitch to throw in those dry air conditions. So I look for Colin to be a little bit more settled, throw some more strikes today. On the other side of the coin, Jared Eichhoff, this was a kid that really wasn't projected very high when he first got drafted because he doesn't have that overpowering fastball. Had okay command of 2 off-speed pitches. Well, boy, has he blossomed. He's still 90 to 90. With the heater, but he complements it with an outstanding late breaking curveball. He has a nice slider to go with it as well. This guy's got really good stuff. He's not a guy you want to fall behind in the count on. So if you see one of those 92 mile an hour heaters early in the count,
jump on it.
I recommend jumping on it exactly because you don't want to have anything to do with that breaking ball that he can put in the dirt to both the righties and lefties late.
I think there's a little pressure on the Padres, offense lineup today because we talked about this right at the beginning of the show today. That this is this going to be a feast or famine type of ball club? And we decided that they're probably going to be famine when they're facing ace pitchers for the most part. Well, Eichhoff is not one of the Phillies' aces. I mean, he's working his way maybe to that level one day. But you're going up against one of baseball's worst rotations. You got shut out yesterday. You got to jump on this kid today. And I know that he's got great stuff and all that, but I think you got to put something together against him.
Well, you want to try to put something against everybody, right? And
yes,
it all depends
of course.
On what they
of
what
course,
they have to offer. And it gets back down to look, if he's locating his pitches, if he's going fastball strike one on the
but
outside.
But that's anybody.
Corner, exactly.
Especially
so that's
more
why
for
I,
a young guy.
I concern less about what the name is on the back and what a guy brings to the dish on any particular night. So we'll see.
Both pitchers looking for their first win of the season, and the Padres with the win today would get their fourth victory on the 7-game road trip, ensure that it was a winning road trip. So it is a very big game for that lineup and for Colin Ray to try and get that victory. Water and Sports Physical Therapy, San Diego's leader in aquatic and land therapy with 7 convenient locations. Visit waterandsports.com. Also, make sure to visit our blog website at FryerWire, padres.mlblogs.com, to read Scan's full analysis of tonight's game. And check out our new feature we have, Social Hour Extra. When we come back, we're going to wrap up Social Hour right here, taking you to Padres and Phillies at the top of the hour. This is Padres Social Hour.
Get ready for every Padres game with us. Coming to you from inside the team store at Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres and Phillies coming up in about 10 minutes. We're back here in the AMR studio. Bob Scanlon wearing his gloves and his scarf today in solidarity with the Padres being out in chilly Philadelphia.
Well, he was taking clothes off. Now he's putting them
putting
back
on. Well, he's got a car to catch maybe after the show.
Hey, it's getting close to game time. I'm bearing down. All right,
Matt,
let's go, guys.
Matt Kemp tonight wearing his batting gloves, but they're special ones today. It's for Mamba Day, Kobe Bryant's final home game. So Matt Kemp, I think 200 Nike athletes are wearing Kobe Bryant's stuff tonight. Mike Trout is one of them, but he was also at the Warriors practice facility yesterday, hanging out with Steph Curry. That's a lot of star power in one photo. Warriors going for that 73rd win tonight. After the Padres game, which one are you guys watching? Kobe's farewell or Steph's crew going for win 73?
I don't even think it's a contest. I've seen Kobe play plenty of times. I'd like to see history.
But you'll never see him play again after today.
That's perfectly fine.
Fine with me. I've seen him enough.
Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry.
On Mamba Day.
let's get the Padres a nice, easy win tonight. No extra innings, so I don't have to flip back and forth.
You know what I'm going to do as a millennial?
What do you got?
I will have Kobe on my computer streaming and Steph on my TV. Watch them both at the same time. How about that?
Good
also, the
that.
Opening night of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That
you
too.
Pucks.
But first, it's Padres. Don't forget tomorrow, early show, 9 a.m. Woo! Bill Center, Mike Grace, and myself. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Scan. Padres, Phillies coming up next. You've been watching Padres Social Hour.